Today's scripture is a well-known portion of scripture, and it comes from Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16. Stay with me. It's a bit of a long reading, but stay with me. For the kingdom of heaven is like this. A number of weeks ago, we had this teaching, and a question was asked, who was telling us this parable? Who had the audacity to say, the kingdom of heaven is like this? And there's only one person that can say that, and that's Jesus Christ. Because he's there, he's been there, he's lived there, he's come here, and he's gone back again. And he says again, for our benefit this morning, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for the vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. And so they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for 1 denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who is hired on the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Amen. Can you imagine how hard it was to work all day picking grapes under the blazing sun of Israel? 12-hour day for 1 denarius, which was an acceptable wage, for it was the rate of pay for a Roman soldier for a day. 1 denarius per day. So when the workers who started at 6 o'clock in the morning started work, they would have been contented to have work and to earn 1 denarius. But as the day wears on, the landowner can see that he won't be able to finish the job unless he hires more laborers. And at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 p.m. in the afternoon, he hires more laborers and he tells them he'd pay them whatever is right. But even at 5 p.m. in the afternoon, he still needed more laborers, and so he hired the last of the laborers. In fact, they were the workers that nobody else wanted. We don't know why they weren't chosen early on, but I guess it's a bit like, you remember being at school and there was a game and there was a captain for either side playing football or softball or whatever, and they would choose the best. And the poor Okies who were at the end of the queue, they were always at the end of the queue. And they never felt good, did they? Hey? They were the ones left by other landowners. Perhaps they were too old, or they were disabled, or perhaps they were even drunk. Who knows? But for some reason, not only did the landowner employ them, but he paid them first. And he paid them one denarius, the wage for a full day's work. Can you imagine how happy they would have been? And can you imagine what the workers who had worked all day thought? They surely must have thought, we'll be paid more than that. Not so. But they were paid the same one denarius for their full day's work. I think we can all understand their disappointment. Amen? Yeah, we can understand it. But as they grumbled, the landowner, which of course in this parable is in fact our Father in heaven, because we're told by Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The landowner said to them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for one denarius a day? The landowner was saying, I have not been unjust to you. Rather, I've been generous to the others. And as we test our own reactions to this set of circumstances, I think most of us here today would at first identify with the aggrieved early workers. Not so? We would sympathize with their perception of injustice. Strangely, we wouldn't even have noticed or felt the joy of the late workers and their generous payout. Why is that? Why did the majority of us, when we heard of this parable, have feelings of understanding for the early workers, but not joy for the latecomers? Well, it's all part of our human nature, for we have been conditioned to understand that the strongest and the hardest working will survive and receive the reward for their endeavors. And conversely, the weak and the dysfunctional will struggle and have little. And so when Jesus tells us this parable, he tells it into a Hebrew world that understands God's holy law. The law that is pure justice, the law that every Hebrew had agreed to uphold, but a law that very few of them, if any, can keep. But in their hypocrisy, many religious leaders claim to be keeping that law, the religious claiming that they've worked a long, hard day for the kingdom of God. But as always, God turns their world upside down when his son, Jesus, tells us this parable, which portrays God as the landowner. And he shows us that his heavenly Father chooses workers for the kingdom of heaven. He told us again and again, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. No wonder he has to go out at 5 PM or late at night and pick up people that nobody else has called or wants or sees fit. Because the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And so he goes out and he employs the ones that were rejected. They receive the maximum blessing that God had promised to give to all of us who've been rejected by the religious law of a holy God. We have to be honest. We know we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. Every one of us. Throughout our life. But in the 11th hour before Judgment Day, to us, Jesus comes and says, I need you to work in my Father's kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Even you, even me, I need you. I need you to work in my Father's kingdom. Come and follow me. Dear friends, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He has divine authority to be loving and generous. Divine authority not to pay us the wages for our sin, which is eternal death. That's what we've earned. But to pay us the full and complete wage of salvation, which we haven't earned. It's called grace, friends. It's called grace. By the grace of God, He loves even me and even you. Amen? It is a salvation we haven't earned, for we have done so little for the kingdom of God. But praise be to God, the Father of Jesus, who is our Savior. For within the holy mystery of the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the minute we turn from our wicked ways and follow Jesus, God the Father rewards us as if we have been working for the kingdom of God for a full day, a full life, a full day, a full life. And so whenever we accept the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, it is a good time, it is a right time, it is a time when we receive the wages of salvation instead of the wages of sin. And this parable tells us it's never too late to receive God's wages of salvation. Amen? It's never too late. And then finally, a word of encouragement for the long-serving Christians. For you are like the workers who worked a long, hard day in the kingdom. Don't let Satan turn you away from the kingdom through his deception and the use of envy. Don't look to the left or look to the right at fellow workers. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the calling. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm reminded of that often when a sinner turns from his or her wicked ways. There's great rejoicing in heaven. And often they're loved and praised as new Christians. It's then that the old faithful Christians can come under attack. As a deceiver whispers into our ears stories about lack of appreciation, or just like in that parable of the prodigal son, when the faithful son was upset. Why, I've never had a fatted calf killed and a feast for me. And I've worked and I've continued to work. Satan's so clever. He loves to stick it into the people who've been faithful for so long. We can sometimes be tempted to react in a similar way. But let us not forget the words of the father from the parable. For he said, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. That's what he said to the faithful son, the one that didn't go away. Nothing had been taken away from him. Satan was trying to put envy and cause that deception. Dear Christian friends, is that not enough? Everything that God Almighty has in the universe is yours. Everything I have is yours. We either believe or we don't. Is that too much to hope for? I don't think so. Can you, with me this morning, say, thank you, Father. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. praise your holy name, for today we've been offered the wages of salvation instead of the well-earned wages of sin. Even though we've done so little for God's kingdom. And today, each and every one of us who has turned to Jesus for salvation has been told by God Almighty, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Amen. Therefore, dear Christian brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to God for his grace and his mercy. We need both. Amen. By remembering his son, Jesus Christ. Now, just about this time, I'd finished my sermon. Rounded it off with a prayer. Rounded it off with a prayer. Help him, Jesus, help him. Keep him awake, Lord, keep him awake. However, the Holy Spirit gave me such a clop. That's a good South African word, isn't it? On Friday, there are two of my colleagues who've been seriously ill over a long period of time. One has to go every week for very painful injections into her back with a cancer treatment. And the other has allergies that flare up and so on and so forth. And they're both from the Hindu faith. But praise be to God, whenever they're worried or sick, they like prayer. And they come into my office and we pray. I've never wanted to try and go to the forefront of my workers and make it like the boss says this or that. So it's always been in private. But for some peculiar reason, couple of the guys were out, and there was just the two ladies were very sick. And my fellow Christian, who's my PA, Mercy, who may be here today, she's a barista that you see sometimes. And the Lord just said to me, there's a bridge between that sermon you've been preparing and the sickness of these ladies. And I want you to go and take your Bible and go and, first of all, Psalm 91 is a brilliant psalm in portions of it to bring forward to people who are sick. And I did so. And the bridge was this. An understanding was given to me that one day, one denarius for one day's work. One son of God for one life. Not one day, for one life. And God chooses. And I'd struggled in my mind to say, Lord, why is it that these people who I've worked with for so long have been so sick, unfairly compared with other people? Why? Like the workers were saying, why must I only get paid one denarius for a whole life? And why must that person get hardly any work and one denarius? And the bridge started to come into my mind how we ourselves say, why is it that so-and-so has such sickness? Why was that child born deformed? It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair. But then the bridge came across to me with the power of the Holy Spirit. One day, one life, one denarius, one Jesus. And at the end of this life, each and every one of us, even though some of us have been given more talents than others, some of us appear to be given less. Still at the end of the one day denarius is given, and the one life, at the end of the one life, the Lord God says, if you turn to me, everything I have is yours. Amen? Amen. Everything I have is yours. Can I therefore now, as I'm going through, because the word says after the fall of Adam, it's going to be tough. This life is a struggle from day one until we pass. And nobody gets it all. Nobody. We all have to face struggle, illness, disappointments, and sometimes not enough. All of us. But this is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is this. Come to me, all you weary, heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And when the Lord makes a promise, he keeps it. Amen? Go in peace. The Lord loves you. Loves you, loves you, loves you.